So the query letter is the first thing that it is that a literary agent's going to see. They're going to either, they're going to skim it because they're busy, hardworking people, and hopefully something in, the however many seconds they can lend their eyeballs to your letter is going to resonate with them, and they can say, "Wow, this has whet my appetite." And then maybe you'll end up getting, a request for pages. Maybe the first 50 pages of your book. Maybe, the whole manuscript. But in getting that that first chapter right and getting that initial query letter right is, almost as important as producing a good book in terms of getting your work to the market.
On that note, Alex Kenna, I want to thank you very much for joining us again on Politics or Pedagogy.
Thank you for having me.
This is John Crumshaw with a special Politics or Pedagogy Education Report.
That's education. That's our mission.
Please make your contribution online at kpfk.org.
90.7 FM, KPFK, Los Angeles.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Middle East in Focus. I'm Esty Chandler. At the age of 15, in order to create evidence, Basil Adra, a Palestinian child of activists in the West Bank community of Masafer Yatta, which is being destroyed by Israel's occupation and state-supported settler violence, had been documenting on video the continuing assault on his and the surrounding villages. In 2019, he met Yuval Abraham, an Israeli journalist reporting on Palestinian home demolitions, including in Masafer Yatta, also with a camera in hand, and their unlikely partnership began. In 2021, Yuval submitted a rough cut from video they and others had amassed, showing the challenges of being a Palestinian living on land the Israeli state has yet to consume, to a program at the Sundance Film Institute. Later that year, the project was selected for the Institute's documentary film program supporting emerging filmmakers. In March of this year, the resulting film by four activist filmmakers, No Other Land, an unflinching account of a community's acts of creative resistance to apartheid, mass expulsion, and an unlikely friendship in the search of a path towards equality and justice, was awarded with the 2025 Academy Award for Best Feature Documentary Film. But the story doesn't end there. Just 3 weeks after bringing home an Oscar in March, an armed mob of Israeli settlers attacked one of the co-directors, Palestinian filmmaker and farmer Hamdan Bilal, who was then arrested and beaten by Israeli soldiers who actually stopped the ambulance taking Hamdan to the hospital and abducted him. And just last Saturday, Israeli forces raided the home of Basil Adra after settlers attacked his village and family members, sending one of his brothers to the hospital. I'm very happy to be able to report that Basil Adra is okay, and I'm extremely happy that he is joining us here today. Basil Adra is a Palestinian journalist, lawyer, and filmmaker from Masafer Yatta in the occupied West Bank. He's a co-director of No Other Land, which documents the forced expulsion of Palestinians from his community by the Israeli military and armed settlers. No Other Land was selected for this year's New York Film Festival and won Best Documentary at the Berlin International Film Festival, where it premiered. Then No Other Land went on to win the Oscar for Best Feature Documentary in March, highlighting the stark inequalities between the Palestinian community Basil Adra lives in under Israeli military occupation and the freedoms his Israeli collaborators on the film enjoy. It is my great pleasure to welcome Basil Adra back to Middle East in Focus. Are you with us, Basil?
Thank you for having me.
It's honestly my honor. As I mentioned in the opening, it was just 3 weeks after arriving home from attending the Oscars here in Los Angeles in March that your friend and co-director Hamdan Bilal was attacked by a mob of Israeli settlers and kidnapped by Israeli soldiers who stopped the ambulance he was in to arrest him. According to Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, the soldiers who abducted Bilal were members of a rapid response unit composed of settlers from nearby settlements. From what I read, when you heard the news, you went to Hamdan's home in Susia to check on his family. I wonder if you can tell us what happened to Hamdan in March and how he and his family are doing now.
Yeah, like today we're facing an increasing on settlers' violence in a very crazy way and in brutal attacks that we never witnessed before. Just in the 28th of July last month, our friend and close friend and amazing activist Auda Hadalin, English teacher and a father, was murdered by Israeli settlers. And after he was killed, and that settler that killed him is free now and continue to work in Auda's land, we witnessed at least 4 bloody attacks just from 28th of July until today. And during these attacks, there have been people who was injured, three months old baby, 87-year-old man, 67-year-old women. Dozens of people have been like brutally attacked by settlers, as I said, from age 3 months to age 86. So it's really we're facing a wave of increasing of settlers, like terrorism, brutal attacks, and full impunity by the Israeli state. As I said, the settler that murdered our friend, our close friend Auda, and the settlers that committing these attacks and pogroms never face any accountability. They never get arrested. They never get punishment consequences for their actions. And some of them were sanctioned even by the U.S. government, Biden administration. And when Trump won the election, they left all these sanctions. And for us, the Palestinians see this as a green light for the settlers to move on with their terrorism and attacks and expanding their settlements and build a new outpost. So Hamdan's attacks not as isolated. It's part of this state policy, which is to Israel has different policies to steal our land and to destroy our life and force us into leave our homes. As people saw in No Other Land, and for those who didn't watch No Other Land yet, it's gonna be soon again available online in the U.S. So I encourage people to watch this movie, to learn about the daily life under this brutal occupation. It's got much, much worse than what they're gonna see, but at least in other land they're gonna learn and see how our life is brutal under this brutal occupation.
Well, make sure that you let us know when it's gonna be available so we can let people know, because I agree with you that people really, really must see the film. Can you tell us how Hamdan is doing now?
Yeah, Hamdan is doing physically okay. Like, his home was, his village was invaded by settlers, police, soldiers. They were attacking his neighbor. They tried to steal his sheep back in March, as you said. And then from that house, they start to attack other houses around, including Hamdan's home. He tried to protect his family and 3 children that were in their house. He locked the door on them and stayed beside the door so settlers don't break into it. And the settlers arrived and reached to him. They recognize him. They know him as an activist, as a filmmaker, as a loud voice against the occupation. So they want to do a revenge against him. They are just from the outpost and the settlement nearby his home. and they constantly come to provoke his family. So that was dark evening. So they had the opportunity to do revenge against him with nobody filming it. I was there even during the attack from in the other side. And there was like a live ammunition shooting by the soldiers, settlers. And settlers were attacking Hamdan, prevent us to reach and help him. And after they attacked him for almost 20 minutes, they abducted him. They refused that he will get first aid help by paramedics. And they kept him in a military base for 24 hours without telling his family and us how he was doing. And only after 24 hours, he was brought to the police station for interrogation. And then he was forced to pay a bill of 500 shekels in order to be released and to go to the hospital. And there he got treated. I mean, since then, it didn't stop at least the provocations, the attacks on his home. Settlers like bring cows and sheep and graze in their garden and their flower and their grapes trees. And Hamdan's family, like other families, can't graze their sheep outside because almost settlers during these 2 years with the soldiers took over all the land that we Palestinians use to graze our animals on it.
It's crazy. In June, the Israeli government ordered a large swath of Masafer Yatta land to be turned into a firing zone for the Israeli military, which is a common step by the State of Israel to effectively seize a region as part of Israel's plan to annex the entire West Bank. Can you talk about what happened in June and how many Palestinians in Masafer Yatta are now at risk of forced displacement due to that order?
So to correct this policy, it was like back in the 80s. In the 80s, they declared 14 communities of Masafer Yatta out of a 20 as a firing zone area, which is mean in one signature by Ariel Sharon, who at that time was the Minister of Agriculture, to designate these 14 communities out of a 20 as a firing zone, which is mean turning them to a military area where only soldiers can be there to do trainings, which is against the international law and very direct violating of the international law. And after that designation, they kept put pressure on the residents of Masafer Yatta by destroying some of the caves, doing some stressful like show training, which mean like they bring some tanks, big bulldozers, some soldiers. And they drive between communities, mostly in the night. They shoot from the tanks. They put targets on the street. The soldiers shoot at them. And they prevent movement of the residents. And they prevent tractors, cars to drive in the area. And they confiscate them if they witness that they are doing so. They kept doing that until 1999 when it didn't work until 1999, where they brought like tanks and the trucks. They put 700 residents from the communities and forcibly displaced them, the soldiers, out of the communities. The residents were able to go back after they continue fight for 6 months in the court and on the ground in a temporary decision. And that temporary decision was in 2000, and in 2022, 3 years ago, there was a final decision written about this case, and the judge that wrote this judgment, he's a settler, live in the settlement in Ramallah, like next to Ramallah in the West Bank, so you can imagine like which ideology he has, which is to in the like pro-settlements and against us as the Palestinians in very clear way. And he just ignored all the evidence that the Palestinians brought in front of the court, shows that they exist before the State of Israel was existing, like there was earlier footage from 1947 showing some communities that were designated as a firing zone. They were existing even in the 47 and before. But this settlers judge, he just ignored all the evidence and gave the green light to the military to forcibly displace over than 1,300 residents from these communities. So it didn't happen physically that they transfer the residents, but what they do, they give permission for settlers to build new illegal outposts next to these communities. And for example, one of the communities called Khalt al-Dabr, during this May and June, it was totally destructed, like bathrooms, homes, sheep shelters, water tanks, solar panels, almost everything except of two rooms and one primary school that is still existing and that has like a court case going on in the court. And when people rebuild some tents, some like rooms from the rebels, they come back and destroy it. Last time it happened last Wednesday. And 2 weeks ago, there was a brutal attack on this community where 9 people brutally injured and were hospitalized. Some of them, including an 8-year-old boy, were at the ICU. He had like the settlers attacked everybody like at midnight. And he got some, they hit him with sticks on his head and he had blood on his brain. It was like a really critical situation. None of these settlers is arrested. These people were attacked because they were sleeping outside because the military destroyed their homes, so they don't have shelter to sleep in it. Either they have the caves underground or to sleep outside, like because it's summer now. And when they slept outside, they got brutally attacked by the settlers from the surrounded outposts.
You're listening to Middle East in Focus on listener-supported KPFK Radio based in Los Angeles. I'm Esty Chandler, very grateful to be joined today by Palestinian journalist and filmmaker from Masaf Yatta in the occupied West Bank, Basil Adra, Oscar-winning co-director of the film No Other Land. We're discussing the ongoing attacks on the villages of Masaf Yatta and the filmmakers by settlers and Israeli forces, as well as the state's ongoing quest to take over all the lands of Masaf Yatta, which has been going on for many years, as Basil has been explaining. Basil, jumping forward to a week ago yesterday, when Israeli settlers attacked your village, Al-Tuwani, in Masaf Yatta, we read that settlers from the nearby illegal Israeli outpost, Havat Ma'on, injured 2 of your brothers and 1 of your cousins. Can you tell us what happened in your village and to your family and your home last weekend?
So, yeah, the same thing, like constantly we have this daily provocation and daily attacks, harassment by settlers, in which they bring their flocks, sheep, goats, cows, and in my village mostly they bring like sheep and goats, and they bring their sheep to graze on our like agricultural land, which is mostly planted with olive trees. So last Saturday they bring their sheep into our my family private land where we planted with olive trees, and they graze their sheep on it. So we go there, we call the Israeli police, but usually it takes very long time for them to arrive at the land to push this settler out of it, because even for under the occupation laws, it's illegal for him to be for the settlers to be in our land. So we go, we start to push the sheep away from the land. More settlers arrived riding like ATV. When some of them were armed with rifles, some of them have sticks on their land in their hands. They were more than 8 settlers. They start physically to push us and to try to kick us out of the land. We refused because it's our land. It's the land that we cultivate. We work in it, and they should like just leave it. So the police arrived. They stayed for a while inside their jeep while settlers were pushing us and throwing rocks at us. As you said, like 2 of my brothers and my cousin were lightly injured by stones and they were like beaten by settlers' hands and sticks. we start to walk back because settlers got more aggressively. The police were there doing nothing. The settlers kept chasing us, and they attacked another like solidarity activist that she was with us. Soldiers joined and watched the settlers running after us and attacking activists and throwing rocks. They just joined them and stand beside them. My uncle and our neighbor were detained. I went with my brothers to the hospital to check if everything okay and to get like first aid because they were like suffering from pain. So in that moment, more army joined, and then they drive directly to my home where my wife and my little daughter were at. They invade my home. They start searching, asking about me, and then they took the phone of my wife. They forced her to open it, and they were looking into it and searching, playing with the phone, looking in the rooms. I have a space where I host activists, both Israeli and international solidarity activists. They were searching the rooms and the office and the place in general. And then they called me from the phone of my of my wife. The service didn't really work because I was at the hospital. But later on, they continued search. They went to my parents' home and our neighbors. They stabbed the tires of our neighbor's car. They blocked the entrance to the village. They prevent people to enter or to go out, just terrorizing people and make people feel afraid.
It does seem to outsiders that you, Hamdan, Awada Hathaline, who was murdered, and other activists and, you know, people who live in Masrafa Yatta who helped make No Other Land are being targeted for the success of the film and showing the world what occupation, apartheid, and the ethnic cleansing of Palestine looks like on the ground day in and day out, as you're describing. This week, over 50 prominent Israeli documentary filmmakers shared an open letter expressing, quote, profound shame, unquote, and helplessness over Israel's actions in Gaza, and declaring their support for the international film community's boycott of Israeli cultural institutions. Can you talk about, you know, as you've been telling us, these intensified efforts by the state to take the lands of Masrafa Yatta? And also, in our last 4 minutes, describe what, if anything, American and international supporters of Palestine can do to help the people in Masrafa Yatta, in the villages, who for years and years are desperately just trying to hold on to your land and homes and live a normal life.
Yeah, well, people can be physically like on the ground with us here, as we have activists on the ground, and we always looking forward to have more people join our struggle and to stay in solidarity in the communities that face this violence, but also people from their place at the universities, at the schools, at street, at restaurants, wherever in their life they can do something to speak against the occupation, to speak about our stories, to share it, to talk about what's happening. Mostly Americans, because really big of the, like, big part of our suffering is because of your support, is because of your foreign policies, because of your tax money, is because of your weapons, is because of your jets. Even these settlers around here, they got a lot, millions of dollars from the United States, like from different charities, from different people who donate to them to steal the land and to continue build outposts and settlements. And a lot of these attacks and violations, I assume it would really would stop if they will stop receiving this money and support from the U.S.
Yeah, I agree. And they actually have here in America set up organizations that they claim are charity organizations. So people who donate money to them get a tax write-off. But in fact, they just use the money, as you say, to build homes on stolen property, to arm the settlers. And, you know, as we try to fight our government to stop, we try to get our politicians to sign on to legislation like the Drop the Bombs bill, which would restrict the worst weapons that we are sending to Israel to attack Palestinians. We have two more minutes. What else should people know?
Yeah, today we have really, we don't have much time like left for us. Like, they are going very insane and crazy and dividing the West Bank more and more, dividing what was divided even. Like, Israel has almost 1,000 metal gate at the entrances of cities, of towns, of villages. And this is very crazy policy, which is to block our movement in really crazy way. As I said, what's happening here in the West Bank, rapidly building a new settlements, illegal outposts, illegal settlements, and all of it, it's illegal, the military bases, settlements, and outposts here on the ground, like the construction of settlers' roads, the physical attacks of the settlers, the displacement of the refugees at the refugee camps in the north of the West Bank. It's really insane, the genocide that's happening in Gaza. We really need your voices, your protests, your actions to... We really need to see results and to stop this madness and this racism and this apartheid. Our life became unlivable with these policies, and very insane that the U.S. it doesn't, like, today, I don't think they see us even as a human beings. They just, like, totally ignores and give Israel whatever it needed, it want, it need to continue the genocide in Gaza and to continue the occupation here in the West Bank and the apartheid. This must change. People should fight against this.
I can assure you that we will not stop fighting, that we will not stop having demonstrations in the street, that we will not stop bringing voices like yours on the air. And as soon as the film is available again, please let us know so that we can make sure that more screenings are planned and that people can know where they can see it.
Cool.
Thank you very much for your time today, Basil.
Thank you for having me.
The Oscar-winning director, actor, and producer Robert Redford, who passed away this week, founded the Sundance Film Institute in 1981 to support and promote independent cinema by providing a space for diverse filmmakers to develop their craft and tell untold stories. The Sundance Film Festival was founded in 1985 as a new initiative of the nonprofit Institute. The festival quickly grew into a significant platform for showcasing new talent and independent films. Many talented filmmakers have benefited from both the Film Festival and the Sundance Institute, including No Other Land. As the Guardian's review of the film stated, the quote, evidence put forth by the directors, Adra, Israeli journalist, Yuval Abraham, Palestinian filmmaker and farmer, Hamdan Bilal, an Israeli cinematographer and editor, Rachel Zors, is straightforward, unsensationalized, and completely infuriating. There is nothing to say that has not already been said on the case for Palestinian sovereignty, the war crimes of the Israeli government, and the moral clarity of those who call for an end to violence and occupation. End quote. Once again, I want to thank our guest, Basil Adra, Palestinian journalist, lawyer, and Oscar-winning filmmaker from Masafer Yatta. I also want to thank Ozzy Flamenco for his production support today. Our theme song is The Overture from Summer Night's Dream by Marcel Khalife. For KPFK Los Angeles, I'm Esti Chandler, thanking you for your continued support of KPFK and for taking this time to put the Middle East in focus. Thank you.
This is Saul Williams, and I'm a proud supporter of KPFK because it supports our community.